This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave. This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2011. Gosh, where is this year going? I want to welcome you to the show. If you're listening live with us tonight, we're glad you could join us. We really appreciate it when you listen in live because you can participate and be part of the show. If you're listening to the podcast, be sure and join us one Tuesday night if you can. We'd love to have you here with us, so be sure and check that out. Before we get started, wanted to give you just some programming notes. Next week, we will be on hiatus as our producer, Matt, will be on the road, but we will be returning the following week, which I believe is the 20th, and we'll have a show then. So be sure and tune into that show. Let's get right into it tonight. If you'd like to participate in the show, you can do it several different ways. You can go to the live chat on warbirdradio.com. You can actually give us a call at 478-787-4768. If you have Skype, you can get us that way too. Just Skype us at Warbird Radio. Or shoot us an email at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. Our guest tonight is a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, and heck, a good friend of everybody's. Please give a warm welcome to Steve Thomas. Steve, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much. It's good to be on again.
Well, we're glad you're here with us tonight. You know, you and I were talking, and I got to thinking it'd be really cool to have you on and kind of come on the show. And, you know, a lot of new things have come out in the last couple of months in our hobby, product-wise. And with you having the shop and the online business, I know that you guys are you know, kind of have your finger on the pulse. So I thought maybe you could tell us about some of the things that have come out, that are coming out, and maybe that you guys are selling too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. You know, the market changes almost on a daily basis. And it really is a challenge being a hobby shop owner just to keep up to date with the pace of change that's taking place in the market, both from a product point of view, I mean, I think the first thing is, you know, just gas engines. Historically, you know, we've had a really poor selection to pick from, and now, you know, you can open any magazine or you can open your email up and you're bombarded with different gas engines. So there's never been a time where there's been so much choice at such a great price for you know, for the engines we use in the hobby. I mean, one of the issues with the Chinese engines is just the quality side of it. And also what we find is one of the issues is that, you know, a lot of people who are moving over from glow to gas for the first time think that they operate the engine exactly the same as a glow engine. And clearly it's very, very different to that. And as a result, these new people to the hobby can have some technical difficulties. But we've actually come across this new line of engines called NGH engines.
Yeah.
It is a Chinese engine, but the thing that's unique about it is that it's a brand new engine. It's not a copy. It's not a clone. You know, this is the actual original guys that have sat down and they've actually designed an engine for model use from the ground up. And it's really got some really nice unique features. I mean, just as an example, it's a front carburetor. You can have it a side exhaust if you want, but equally one of the really unique features with this engine is that you can move the whole cylinder head to the rear, so you can actually have it rear exhaust if you want.
Huh.
And as a result of that, then the profile of the engine is very, very small. And to answer some of the critique that, you know, people have had in the past, with this one here, you can either beam mount it, because it actually comes with normal mounting plates, just like a glow plug engine.
Yeah.
You can mount it on the back like a radial mount. And also, if you want, you can mount it, you know, in the more modern method now with standoffs. So it really, really is a unique engine. We've had them on test for quite some time, and as you know, Mike, you know, when we get an engine in, we really hammer it to test it and make sure that it's suitable for the market.
Absolutely.
And this engine has passed all the criteria that we've actually set with it. So, you know, it's new to the market. People won't be that familiar with them just at the moment. But I really think this engine is one that you will start to hear of in the future. And as far as it goes at the moment, they actually do four engines in the range. There's a 35cc, which is the one that I've been using. They do a 25cc. There's a 17cc that will replace any sort of the old, like, 90 size to SATO 120 size engines. And then they even do a 9cc gas engine as well. Once again, I mean, I haven't actually had sight of the 9cc one, but I understand the performance is pretty exceptional on it. So, you know, it's just an engine to look at. It's another choice for people. It may not suit everybody, but certainly it gives lots of options on installations, particularly in a scale aircraft. So one to look out for in the future.
That's interesting. 9cc, huh?
9cc, yeah. I mean, it primarily it was designed for the helicopter market.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can see quite a few applications for it. And price-wise, although I haven't got a final price on it, it's very, very comparable with a glow engine.
Huh.
So watch that space on that one. Possibly, you know, at a future show, we can give you some reports on that engine.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
One question I had about that, though. So tell me the sizes that are available in that line again.
Yeah, the largest one that they make currently is a 35cc.
Okay.
There's a 25cc. There's a 17cc. And then this new 9cc that's coming online as well.
I got you. And, of course, those are all electronic ignition, right?
All electronic ignition, once again, really, really simple to use. Comes with a really, really good quality instruction book as well. So, you know, kudos to this company. I mean, it's not like a traditional Chinese company where, you know, you can send your money along and they'll just send you as many engines as you want. These guys have actually, you know, asked us lots of very serious questions about, you know, how we understand the industry before they actually gave us an option to sell these engines. So, you know, I really feel it's just something different from the normal marketplace.
Huh. And what's the price point on those engines, if you have that?
Well, the 35cc, I'll be honest with you, I haven't quite fixed it yet because, unfortunately, nowadays, one of the big criteria in the cost of these things is the cost of shipping over to the States.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that varies significantly. I mean, just to give you an example, we were sending an airliner today to Hong Kong. One company was quoting like $1,025, and in the end, we actually got it down to $228. But you know what a huge variance in the shipping cost.
Oh yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, but I think on this 35cc, we're going to be at about the $300 mark on it.
Gotcha.
And then the smaller one probably, you know, $25 lower than that, so around $275. Well priced and lots of value for money if people decide to buy one.
Huh. Well, that's neat.
So
what else do you see trending this year? I mean, obviously, you know, engines are kind of a big deal. What other things? I know there's been some big changes in some of the radio systems too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the new Spectrum 7 has just been released. We've actually got a number on the way to us at the moment. You know, but the Spectrum line continues to sell really, really well. Futaba, of course, are just about to release the Futaba 18, although I don't think that will actually be available now until the new year. But at the iHobby show in Chicago, I had the opportunity of just sort of playing with one for half an hour or so, and it really, really is a top quality radio, and the quality of the screen is just so impressive. It's untrue.
Huh.
Obviously, there's a lot of Chinese radios making their way into the marketplace now. You know, you can buy receivers for ridiculously low prices. And, you know, people are having success with them. I mean, it's not the sort of thing, you know, we would typically use in our scale warbirds, but, you know, there's certainly a place in the market for those low-cost receivers.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, so what else have you guys got coming in these days?
We've had, you know, as you know, we're the Zor propeller distributor, and interestingly, on that NGH engine, that 35cc, we've just had the new axial, the German axial propellers, and those are the ones that we've been waiting for quite a period of time. It was the one hole that we had in the inventory because we didn't have a scale propeller for the German aircraft. Well, now we've actually got it. And as I said, we on this NGH engine, I actually used one of the testbed axial propellers to actually run it on this NGH engine. So, you know, it was a brand new engine with a brand new design of propeller. And as I said, I really, really put this engine through its paces, and as a result, the propeller as well. And I was really, really impressed with the performance of it and how it stood up to the abuse that we give it during the testing program.
Yeah.
So those actual propellers, you know, they're beautifully done. They've got the proper axial emblem in them, and we've actually had that silk printed into the wood itself. And one of the nice things with the new axial propellers is that every single one of them is just slightly different. Because what we do is we use a different grade of wood, but we actually stain one of the woods, and depending on the density of the wood, we actually get a different coloration on them. So it's not as though, you know, every single axial propeller will look exactly the same. They'll all just be a little bit unique. So, you know, I think it's quite a nice feature with it.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. One other question, you know, carbon fiber props are really getting popular now. The price on those are coming down. This year they've dropped dramatically over a year's time compared to what they used to be. Do you see those moving more into the sport and scale market?
I don't know. I mean, as you know, we're the Falcon propeller distributor as well, and Falcon probably make the best carbon propeller that is out there. You know, if you go to the respective forums, you'll see threads on the new Falcon propellers. And once again, I mean, you know, on the forums, it's very unusual to find a forum or a thread that is absolutely positive for a product. But it looks like we've achieved that with the Falcon carbon propellers. You know, it offers good value for money, but it is very, very efficient, and it's certainly got a far lower noise profile than you would see with any of the other carbon propellers out there at the moment. But the carbon propellers, I mean, they still remain, you know, more for the 3D and the aerobatic market. You know, although we sell a lot of carbon props, it is, I would say, you know, 95% based towards the 3D and the aerobatic guys.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I'll tell you what, before we talk some more, let me let folks know how they can call in. Guys, if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. If you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio. We're waiting for your call that way, too. You can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com, or you can use the live chat on Warbird Radio, warbirdradio.com, and join in the conversation. Looks like we got a couple of questions here for you, Steve, while we're talking about that. Chuck Graves wants to know, the German props Steve is talking about, are those scale World War II propellers? World War I, are they two or three blade? And what sizes do they go up to?
Okay, that's a very good question. The axial propeller is designed for the World War I aircraft. So, you know, it'll fit all the German aircraft. Size-wise, the smallest one that we currently do on the very first batch was 17 inches. So we've gone from 17 to 28 inches on the first batch with various pitches all the way through, and all of them are two-bladed because, as far as I'm aware, unless anybody can point me in the right direction, I don't think there were any three-bladed axial propellers out there. You know, as we're talking, I'm struggling to think of an aircraft whereby you'd actually see a three-blade axial propeller on it. Yeah. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, 99% of them were two-bladers. But, you know, if you're doing a World War One aircraft, then a German one, then it really, really does add the finishing touch to a model. I mean, historically, people have bought either the Scimitar or the Sabre one and stained it up themselves, which was a good representation. But the axial propeller, I mean, when you see it, I mean, when I show it people in the stores or out at the flying fields, their reaction is very, very positive. And I seem to remember your reaction when I first showed them to you, Mike.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was impressed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It really just add that finishing touch. So, you know, two blades, German, World War One, and from 18 inches to 28 inches just at the moment. And then in the second batch, which is just being made for us as we speak, we're going up to about 34 inches in diameter. But obviously, you know, we only have a few of those made because, you know, it's not so, but, you know, it's a huge seller.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this weekend, it's the Southern Dawn Patrol event at Mac Hodges. Right. And obviously, I'm leaving on Thursday morning for that one. Some of my colleagues from Florida have actually left tonight. People like Scott and all those guys, Georgie. They're real World War One nuts, and they're heading up there already to stake their position on the flight line.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great event too. We're definitely going to talk about that some. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, I don't talk a lot about ARFs here, but you know, ESM is really pushing some semi-scale ARFs these days, and they actually look really good. They've got some new products coming out this year, don't they?
They have. I mean, ESM, which is you know, a Chinese manufacturer. I mean, they are arguably one of the best manufacturers out there. You know, they've been around for quite some time now, and they've got a huge range of aircraft which are available. Most of them, you know, from a scale point of view, were sort of really World War II, you know, like the Lavochkin 7 that I fly. No matter which event I go to, I always take this ESM LA-7, and, you know, you'll see me flying it around with one of our engines in. And I believe you actually fly one of the ESM models yourself.
I sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which one is it you fly?
I have the Val.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I tried that. That's a really impressive flyer. And, you know, it's a really nice flyer as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But no, you're right. I mean, ESM have got a huge range there. And what they've done is that, you know, their specialty historically has been composite aircraft. Well, what they've got now is they've got a brand new range of aircraft called Econ-RC. Econ-RC.
Okay.
And what they've got here is these are now traditional built-up aircraft covered in solar film from the UK. Mm-hmm. And these are all civilian aircraft, all, you know, more sort of 1920s, 30s racer-style aircraft. But they've got a beautiful Tiger Moth there. They've got some Ronkers. They've got a Wilger, you know, the tow aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth looking at the website and seeing, because, you know, once again, the pricing on these models is exceptionally good.
Yes.
And the Tiger Moth, I mean, I've actually seen the Tiger Moth, and, you know, I've made sure that I'm going to be getting one of those in the not too distant future.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes. But certainly, you know, I mean, from a scale point of view, you know, it's well worth people looking at that. And if they need any help, they can obviously come to us, and we can help them with information if people need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're great models to kick around at the local field with and just relax and not worry about braking. And just, I mean, they look good, too. So, you know,
that's right.
And, you know, there's certainly a market for those right now. So
yeah. Well, I think also, you know, with these bigger models that they're now making, I mean, you know, you can get the model. It's very well priced. I mean, I don't think you could build it for the cost that they're charging for these things now.
Oh,
you can have a good flying season with it. And then at the end of it, you know, you could really start to improve it with some more scale detail.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons I really wanted to get you on the show is I wanted to talk about these Evolution radial engines.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I'd like to talk about those a few minutes. I know you've been running the 260, isn't that correct?
That's right, yep.
And
that's right.
I'd like to hear your impression of that engine. You know, let me preface this by saying that these engines before Horizon got involved were generally of good quality but had some hit and miss on some QC. And my hope was, just like everything they do, they tend to take a product that's somewhat iffy and are able to turn it around into a really, really good product. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate that Peter Bergstrom from Horizon Hobby approached me if I'd like to help them with the testing and development program on these engines. I have had a fair bit of experience of the Seidel engine, so it was really a very much a complementary match. And Peter supplied me with the Evolution 260. And, you know, we get a lot of engines sent to us for testing, but obviously with this one here, I was really, really excited about trying to be involved in the development of it. We got this engine here. I mean, as soon as I opened the box up, I thought, wow, this engine, you know, even if it doesn't run right, then it absolutely looks the part. We mounted it on the stand, and I'll be honest with you, it caught us really unawares. Second flick, this engine was running away, just purring away on the stand. And, you know, no matter where I take this engine now, then, you know, people always want us to start it so that they can actually listen to it run. It's 260 cc's, it's seven cylinders, so it has got a very different sound to a Moki engine. But it runs beautifully smoothly, it's incredibly powerful, and the throttle response is second to none on it.
Right.
We've run it a lot. We've now got it in an airframe, and we've actually been flying it, and obviously it's been performing very well in the airframe. And as far as I can see, I mean, I've only got positive things to say about it. Once again, the mandate from Peter Bergstrom at Horizon was, you know, take this thing, break it, do whatever you need to do, but just tell us the good, bad, and the ugly with it. And, I've made a couple of suggestions around the choke mechanism and also around the collector ring, just to make it a little bit easier from an installation point of view. But apart from that, the engine, in my mind, is an absolute winner. And, you know, it offers another alternative to the Moki engines, which has sort of dominated the market.
Right.
And once again, I mean, I'll be flying it at the 12 o'clock high event, Frank Tiana's event, the weekend after next in Lakeland, Florida. So we'll get an opportunity then to test it even further.
Well, super. Hey, I'll tell you what, let me interrupt you one second. I think we've got a caller. Matt, do we still have the caller on?
Yes, you do, Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry to hold you, caller. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Well, it might be me.
Well, hey, Alan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing good.
Good, good. Well, I had a couple of questions, actually, maybe quickly. I heard you talking about ESM, I think was that the word, and I don't know who that is, and I wish I did, or the website or something.
Okay. Steve, do you know the URL to ESM right off the top of your
head? Or just the company name rather than just ESM, because I just Googled ESM and got nothing.
Okay, it's a Chinese company, Alan. It's called Ever Soaring Models.
Ever Soaring?
Soaring Models, that's it.
As in, like, gliders, that soaring?
Yeah, that's right, yes, S-O-A-R-I-N-G.
Okay.
Ever Soaring Models. If you just go to them, and if
Thank
you're struggling
you.
To find it, just send me an email, and I'll send you the
No, I'll find it. I'll find it. That's good. And then I have my other comment was that I think you're right. I don't believe there are any three-bladed World War One aircraft, but there is at least one four-bladed, and that's the Seaman Schuckert.
Ah, right, yes. Yes, good point.
Yeah, super.
And I'm sorry I'm going to miss you guys down at Max. I really wanted to come. I wanted to bring my third scale SE5, which I haven't flown, but I've had the engine going backwards and forwards to a certain gentleman to try and make it work for the last 2 months, and it's just not reliable, and it's in with UPS going back to him one more time. So
no,
I'm going to pass, but I'll be thinking of you.
Okay, well, we'll certainly miss you around the campfire, Alan.
Well, Alan, thanks for your call, buddy. We appreciate you calling in.
No problem.
All right.
Enjoy
we'll
listening.
Be talking to you.
Take care.
Thanks. All right. That was, of course, Alan Yendel from SIGHT. You guys may or may not know him, but a regular on RCSB and here on the show, and even does a spot now and then for us. So we'll look forward to having him back on. So Steve, let's talk a little bit more about these Evolution engines. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a background on how Horizon kind of took that line and what they've done with it.
Well, obviously, originally the engine was designed in Germany, and it was branded under the Seidel name. And then what happened was that at the was it iHobby or Toledo? I can't remember. It must have been the iHobby show 2 years ago. What had happened was that Seidel had finished their business, and UMS, the actual Indian company who make the engine, were actually displaying at the iHobby show. And a number of people approached them, and I was actually one of the people who approached them as well, around, you know, sort of being involved in the development of the engine. But ultimately, UMS decided to go with Horizon, and I think it was an excellent partnership, because Horizon have done an excellent job with UMS to produce this engine. The 260 is a brand new engine. It's not as though it's it's just a bigger version of the original 250. So the 260 is available now, and then very shortly the 160 will be available as well, which will probably have bigger appeal because it will fit more airframes than the 260. But that's my understanding as to how Horizon got involved with it. And I was actually chatting with Peter Bertram today, you know, who looks after the development of Evolution Sato for Horizon Hobby. And he's certainly been working very hard and diligently with the factory in India to actually get these engines 100% right. And I'll be honest with you, I think they're doing a great job. And once again, it provides another alternative to a Moki. But if you go to, there's a thread on RC Universe on the Evolution 260. If you go onto that, you'll have an opportunity there of just hearing it, just in case you don't get to any of the events where these engines are running. As far as them being available, they should be available to sell the first week in December, so just a few days away. And I know that Horizon have already got most of the initial batch sold already. Yeah. And then the 160, there is a lot of interest in the 160, but I don't think we'll actually see that until spring of next year. It's a complicated beast, and Horizon was far more make sure that the product quality is 100% before they actually release it to the marketplace.
Right. You know, they have a great history of taking a good product and making it into a superior product. I really look forward to seeing what they do with this line, because that's pretty neat. So,
well, I think the other thing, Mike, is that the price point on them, they're almost $1,000 lower in price than an equivalent Moki engine. And in this market, that's one heck of a choice.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, we got a comment here, or actually a question from Scott Lee. Wants to know if your Newport's ready for the Southern Dawn Patrol this weekend.
Well, once I finish this interview, I'll be diligently going into the shed and finishing it. It's an interesting story. I've flown this model a lot, and I've had a huge amount of flying it with people like Scott Lee and Georgie and all the guys locally, because, if there is a heart to modeling, then these guys actually exude it, and it is really, really good to be with these guys. But with the Newport, I flew it last time at Top Gun, and I had a really good flight scores with it. I was just putting it away. I took the wings off and I left it on the table, and then all of a sudden the wind got up and the actual airplane fell off the table and it smashed the tail on it. And because I've been so busy, I just haven't had a chance to do anything at all. So the last couple of nights I've actually been repairing it. But I'm sure Scott Lee and the crew will be pleased and proud to hear that the Newport 17 will be at Mac Hodges event on Thursday morning.
Good deal. I'm sure everyone looks forward to seeing that. Now, you got to be sure and say hello to all the guys for me while you're down there.
We will. That's right. I'm just hoping that the. I mean, I was sorry to hear that Alan can't make it because you know Alan's a part of the fixtures there at that event.
Right.
So I just hope guys have got the enthusiasm to come out and actually participate in the event because you know I must admit I'd go no matter what because it's such a great friendly event.
Oh yeah.
I would not miss this one for the world.
Well, good deal. Good deal. Once again, folks, if you'd like to ask Steve a question or if you have a comment, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll read your question on the air. But, Steve, let's talk about, speaking of events, what events will you be attending in the near future and first of next year?
Right. Well, you know, when you opened up this interview, you know, it's just incredible how quickly this year has flown by.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, just recently, we've had Monster Planes down here in Lakeland, which was a very, very successful event with some really, really nice quality aircraft there and some great flying skills. And then we've also just had the Roar and Soar event at Fantasy of Flight. You know, which is an annual event, and the RC side is like an important component of that overall event. And this year we had a really, really successful event. The museum had put a lot of effort into redeveloping the runway for model use, and they've done an excellent job on it. And we had a really, really nice balance of pilots and models at the event. So that one went really well. And then, last weekend we had an event at the Samford Club. They had a Warbird event, which once again went really well. And don't forget, at the Samford Club, that's the new home of the Blue Max event, the World War One event.
Right.
So that one there is next January, 27th, 28th, 29th. So that event is primarily, it is only for World War One aircraft, but Scott Lee is the actual organizer this year. And, you know, we've had this change of venue from Fantasy of Flight to the Samford Club, which are going to host this event and do a really, really fine job. But with this event here, it is purely for World War One aircraft, but Scott's just going to change the format of it a little bit this year. You know, the whole focus is on being a fun event where people can come and fly, but equally, if they then want to take part in the competitive side of it, they can at the same time. So, you know, I'd very much encourage people that, you know, if you've got a World War One aircraft, whether you want to just fun fly it or dip your toe into the water for the very first time into a competition and see what it's like to be assessed and judged, then you're more than welcome to take part in that. So, you know, there's a website called the Blue Max RC event. So I'd encourage people to go and take a look at that one. And then the other event that was coming up the weekend after next, which I believe you're attending, is the 12 o'clock high event.
Yep.
By Frank Tiano.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to grace us in Florida with your presence on that one.
Yes, that's right. You will see the Alabama boy head south. That's right.
Okay. Well, I shall put the warning messages out now. And But no, once again, I mean, that's a brand new event. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I'm based out of Orlando, Florida. We are very, very fortunate to have all of these events locally. And, you know, I'd encourage people to come along to these events because it's a great shop window for the hobby. You can talk to all the people because, you know, these are the people that appear in the magazines all the time and they've got their finger on the pulse in the hobby. And every single one of them is more than approachable, you know, to talk about the hobby or any advice and guidance that people want. And, you know, it's a very, very low entrance fee to actually come in, either to be a part of the event or if you want to be a spectator. So, you know, it would be good to see people supporting these events more locally. And then the other thing, which I don't know if you know about this one, Mike, but there's a massive event planned for March of next year. It's going to be based at the New Smyrna Airport in on the East Coast in Florida. And primarily it's a balloon event, but what they've done is they've asked for a really strong RC contingent this year. And, you know, they've actually got a budget there, so we're actually going to be having pyrotechnics there. It's going to be a choreographed air show. So that's certainly one to put on your calendar for next March. I believe the date's at the end of March, but obviously we can talk about that one at a later date.
Yeah.
But we're going to do some really exciting things there. We're actually going to try and set a Guinness World Record there with a particular model aircraft activity. Can't really say too much about it at the moment because it's still in the development stage, but we will need lots of people there to support the event and actually be a part of the Guinness Book of Records attempt. How does that sound?
That's pretty awesome, yeah. That's pretty neat. I want to talk to you about that event more later on, but that sounds pretty interesting. So, of course, we'll talk about upcoming events. We'll have links to these events that we're talking about in the episode thread on RC Scale Builder. But, I'm really looking forward to coming down to 12 Clock High and seeing that new field that Frank's got. I haven't seen it yet. So
You haven't been down to that field?
Not to the new one, no.
No, well, I'll tell you, Frank's done an excellent job though. I mean, that field now is like a bowling green. You know, he's put a lot of money into that, you know, personal money, and he really has developed there, you know, a really, really nice flying venue. So, you know, you'll get a warm welcome when you come down, and particularly if you bring some drink with you as well. we'll all sacrifice ourselves for you.
You know, we don't do any drinking when we travel. You know that.
Absolutely not.
I tell you just a quick story. Every time Steve comes up to Max when we all go down there, somehow Steve and I end up at the Mexican restaurant with a very large margarita in front of us. How does that happen, Steve? I just don't get it.
I don't know, but it's going to be an amazing coincidence that it's going to happen in a few days' time.
Well, I hear you. I hear you. Well, look, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show. You know, one other quick thing. We're kind of running out of time here. We've got a few more things to cover. But one quick thing I wanted to cover, like you said, you were talking about attending these events. I think it's very important for everyone to support these events in your areas in the country, you know, and travel if you want to. It's a great opportunity, like yeah. Steve said, to meet people face to face. Everyone that I've ever met in this hobby, with the exception of one person out of thousands, has been absolutely wonderful, you know, and very approachable. And so, you know, when you compare those odds to the normal population, we got a pretty darn good group of people in this hobby. So it's a great opportunity to meet a lot of the folks and talk airplanes and just have a good time. So
yeah. Honestly, I'd really echo the comments you've made there, because you know these events don't just happen by themselves.
Right.
You know, a lot of people put a huge amount of effort into facilitating these events, and you know, as you know, there's a lot of things that need to happen behind the scenes to make the event successful. It doesn't just happen, and you know, I think it's a real shame that, you know, people put the effort in, and then, you know, probably the attendance isn't quite as strong as you would like, because, you know, you've absolutely right, it's a great opportunity to meet the names and the faces in the hobby. And you know, I found that absolutely everybody in this hobby is more than approachable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just amazing how nice everyone is, you know, and I think it says something. Matt was actually commenting to me in text that so many of the people we have in the live chat right now are, you know, some big names in the hobby, and that's quite unusual for you know, a show like this. So I think that says something a lot about, you know, how approachable everyone is. And you know, one of the nicest guys in the world, in my opinion, is Mike Barbie. He's actually listening to the show right now.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the nicest fellows you can ever meet, and very helpful, and loves to show what he's working on. So, you know, I think most guys are that way too. And I think sometimes what you got to understand is, if you go to something like Top Gun, where it's a very heated competition, and you're trying to talk to people while they're getting ready to compete, it's kind of hard for them to focus on both things. So these fly-ins are wonderful because it gives everybody a chance to relax and enjoy themselves and just have a great time, you know?
Yeah. And also, it's a great opportunity for, you know, for would-be pilots to dip their toe into the water in a really friendly environment. You know, I mean, you know, you've got to build up to competing at events like Top Gun, but the local events are a great proving ground for people just to get used to flying in front of a crowd in a disciplined environment. So I would really, really encourage people to take those opportunities and attend these local events.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, that's important, and we all need to keep that in mind. And we're wrapping up, obviously, events this year, but, you know, next year we're going to have a wave of them starting in January. So try and get to all the events you can, because seriously, when like Steve said, you know, it takes a lot of work to put on these events, and if people stop coming, they stop having them. So we're really lucky in the Southeast that we have so many events, you know. So I hope that maybe some other parts of the country can take our cue and do the same thing. But it's always great talking to you, Steve, and you're a great supporter of RC Scale Builder and this show. And we appreciate you coming on and talking about what's going on in the hobby these days.
Okay. Well, you're very welcome. And it's always a pleasure to be on the show and being able to sort of contribute to the RC market.
Well, you definitely are one of the people that help keep this hobby alive. So at least in my eyes, you do. So I appreciate it.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Well, look, we're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, I've got a few quick things to wrap up. But Steve, be sure and tell the boss I said hello when you hang up.
I will.
And we'll be talking to you soon, pal.
Okay, I will see you in a week's time then.
Absolutely. We'll see you down at 12 o'clock high. Stick around, folks.
Okay,
we'll be. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And just to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, because we'll be in that that holiday season just in a few days' time.
That's right. That's right. So be sure and visit Steve's site at Steve's Hobby Center. I'm sorry, Bob's Hobby Center. The links.
That's right, Bob's Hobby Center.
Yeah, the links on the show episode guide and all the info's there, and you can order online. So be sure and check it out. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
If you're landing at DCA, be sure to wave.
Wave.
This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we sure are glad you're listening tonight, whether you're listening live or on the podcast. Heck, we're just glad you're listening. So be sure and tune in live, though, if you are listening to the podcast. We have a lot of fun on the show. I really appreciate Steve coming on. I want to apologize to Ron Berg. Our interview ran way over, and we had to bump Ron's segment tonight, but maybe we can get him back on the next show and get him to do that review for us. A couple of quick notes before we cut out tonight. Upcoming events, of course, this weekend we have the Southern Dawn Patrol in Andersonville, Georgia, down at Matt Hodges' place. Great event. Be sure and check it out if you're into World War One or if you're just into airplanes. It's a great event. A lot of nice guys down there. They'll be happy to show you what they're doing. And some of the work on the models is incredible. Of course, December 8th through the 10th in Lakeland, Florida, 12 o'clock high. Yours truly will be there along with Steve and a lot of other folks from the site. So be sure and join us if you can. We look forward to seeing you. And, I'm really looking forward to seeing the new field down there. And, of course, the Blue Max is coming up January 27th through the 29th of next year in Geneva, Florida, at a new location. And we'll talk more about that toward the end of December. We'll have Scott on the show, and we'll talk the event up a little bit and talk about it moving and where it's going to be. So I look forward to that show. Real quick, again this week, I'm gonna put this up again this week as the site of the week, although it's not really a site, it's more of a product. This is such a cool product that if you don't have it in your workshop, you need to get it. It's called the David Combi Planer, and it's basically a small metal plane, wood plane, that is perfect for the kind of work we do in the workshop. I'll post a link to that on the episode thread on RC Scale Builder, so be sure and check that out. I think they sell for about $24 or $26, but it's a nice tool, and it's really worth getting. I can't comment enough about this tool. Anyone who's ever tried it falls in love with it because it just works so well. And I guess that's about it for tonight. I really appreciate everyone listening. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving, those listening from the U.S. I had a great holiday. Of course, it took me till, sometime Friday to come out of my turkey coma. But, we had a great time spending a little time with the family and seeing everybody. So hope you were able to do the same. Also, like I mentioned at the first of the show, next week will be a rerun, but the following week we'll have a live show, so be sure and tune in then. And, Matt, I think we really need to do the RC Scale Builder Christmas Extravaganza show.
I have a segment for that tonight, Mike. I hope you were going to let us talk about it. But here is a segment, a little small snippet of what you're going to hear. This is Mike Chilson's great uncle singing here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, you guys got some pipes on him.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so that's the Christmas rendition of the Trololo song, and it'll be it'll be sung that night on the Festivus portion of the show, the airing of grievances.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So we have, I will be wearing the Santa suit.
That's right, You have the Festivus pole erect in your shop down there.
And, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm ready.
Well, look, I'm glad you all joined us tonight. be sure and tune in to the next episode of the RC Scale Builder Show. We have a great time, and you know what? We enjoy bringing it to you. And we hope to see you next week, or actually the week after in this episode. But be sure and listen to the podcast if you have not listened, if you missed some shows. You can go back right here on Warbird Radio and listen to those. Also, be sure and check out all the other great programming here on Warbird Radio. There's lots of great shows if you love airplanes. You all take care and be safe this holiday season, and we'll be talking to you real soon. And don't forget to always measure twice and cut once. Good night.